Welcome, everybody, to the 8th episode of the Creek Hamster Podcast. I am one of your hosts. My name is Jonathan Reynolds. With me, as normal, are Skylar and Craig. Also with us today is our special guest, our old intern, Brenton Kirshner. Brenton, do you remember our first bonding experience?
I do remember. It was both a very bonding, as you said, and also traumatic time for all of us.
We wanted to celebrate Brenton's birthday, even though we didn't know him, so we decided that we would kidnap him and take him to breakfast early in the morning, and we put in a lot of work. We got in touch with Brenton's roommate at the time, tried to make sure that we could get into Brenton's room at 6 a.m., and when we went at 6 a.m., his roommate... I don't even know what happened, but he didn't answer the door. He assured us he would answer the door, and then he didn't.
No, he didn't. I heard somebody knocking, and it was during pledge week for the clubs, and so I was paranoid, and I was like, who's at the door? And he goes, oh, you should probably answer it, and then he went back to bed. That was his help, real.
Yeah, he really sold it.
Yep.
And then finally you went and got the door, and we were in ski masks, and... I guess we looked like we were in middle school at the time.
No, I mean y'all looked like a pretty intimidating presence. You weren't ski mask only. Weren't they the Mexican wrestling?
Oh yeah, that's right.
We had some luchadors too.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And we put Brenton in a sleeping bag and took him to IHOP.
You know, now that most of the night terrors have ended from that, it's actually a pretty fond memory.
I feel like if teenagers did that to me when I was interning, I would be mad because I would have wanted to get my sleep. I don't think I would have been pleased about it at all.
I actually remember when we got to IHOP, I was pretty happy. It was good food. It was fun. I enjoyed the youth group.
And then afterwards, we went and watched The Office in the couch area. It's precious.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that part.
It was good times.
And you got to ride in Skylar's creepy van, and by creepy, yeah. It's awesome. It's a pretty good van.
Creepy awesome.
Anyway, the structure of our podcast is each week, all of us bring one topic to the podcast to discuss. This week, we are going to start with our guest, Brenton. So, Brenton, what is your topic this week?
My topic this week is if you could be part of any TV series. Not just as part of the cast, but as if the TV series was a true reality, what TV series would you be a part of?
Well, we already did this. We already said this, but we did this question already with movies, but we haven't done it with TV shows yet. And I feel like TV worlds are different. I don't know if TV worlds are as appealing to me as movie worlds.
Sure. Yeah, you know, I think when you think about a movie world, it's definitely a more closed off universe, but TV world allows for a lot of possibilities, development. Kind of like when you start a show, by the end of the last season, you're in a totally different place, totally different world or experience by that time.
Yeah, because they have so much more time to evolve. You're right. Man, I don't know. I'm going to have to think through TV shows. I don't know. Skylar and Craig, do you guys have any ideas yet? I'm trying to go through all the TV shows I've seen. There's almost too many of them.
Yeah, it's funny because there's a lot that I enjoy, but a good portion of them, the main characters go through a really, really hard time the majority of the show. So, it's risky.
I was very worried you were going to say Fooly Cooly again.
Yeah, nope. I thought you were going to say Fooly Cooly.
Not this time.
Brenton, Fooly Cooly is a TV show about... I'm sorry, I'm going to spoil it.
Don't do it, Jorge. We talked about this last time.
I have to tell you. I have to tell them what it is. It's a TV show about a guy who gets demons in his head, and they literally explode out of his forehead and fight other demons.
Wow. It is
the weirdest TV show I have ever seen in my life.
It ran for a long time. How many episodes did it have, Skylar?
I think six.
Yeah, six.
Yeah, long time.
Fooly Cooly?
Fooly Cooly. Apparently you can find it on YouTube.
Yeah. If you search capital FLCL, you'll find it.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyways, good show, but I don't think I'd want to live in it. My show, I would choose The Beastmaster. I'm in on that.
Okay.
would you be the Beastmaster, or would you just be someone in the world?
I'm going to be the Beastmaster.
Okay. What animal would you want to control?
All of them, just like the Beastmaster.
Okay.
That's so extreme.
That is almost worse than Fully Cooley in my mind.
Sorry.
I don't know, animals at your beck and call. I mean, think about everything you could get done with a different animal skill set. You could get quite a bit taken care of.
You could probably get close to nothing done. Like, if you went up to a bunch of bears and said, "Hey, bears, build me a house," that house would not look very good because they don't have opposable thumbs.
Well, I guess you would assume that the person who had the skill would have a basic knowledge of animals and know what their skill sets are. So, yes, yeah. Bears and houses probably wouldn't go together unless you've been reading way too many of the Bears books.
The Bears so. Books?
The Berenstain Bears?
Oh, yeah, the Berenstain Bears.
Different podcast.
Yeah. That is for a different podcast.
It is an option. You could be a Berenstain Bear if you wanted to do that as your reality.
My TV show... I still haven't picked one. I don't know why I started that statement. Maybe Power Rangers, if I get to be a Power Ranger. Mm-hmm. I'd be a good Power Ranger.
You'd be one of those bullies that always get in trouble and they try to do stupid pranks and
Bulk
backfires.
And Skull.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd be one of them. It'd be cool.
For sure.
I don't know. I don't feel like that's my actual answer. That's just the one I can think of off the top of my head that I think would be fun. Or, part of me thinks, if the world of Pokemon were real, that would be a cool world to be a part of.
I don't want to be a part of that.
You'd definitely be Brock in that. See, I can find your person to match.
Dragon Ball would be cool. Cartoon worlds are very different, so I think they could be fun. So Dragon Ball would be good. All right.
Yeah, I was thinking Dragon Ball Z as a cartoon, but Skylar took it to another level. I just wanted to be in the Dog Whisperer so I could talk to Lily and she could tell me the secrets of Jonathan.
You just want to live in our world, but be Cesar Ramirez.
Yeah, who I think...
Cesar Malone. Cesar Malone.
I'm pretty sure he died, though.
I don't think that's true.
I think he did die.
To a dog?
I don't know, to a dog.
I think he might have just died.
Craig, the thing about your answer is that you literally just picked our world.
No, yeah,
that's okay.
Because that's a reality TV show.
To an extreme. I just want to be able to talk to Lily so she can expose your secrets.
Caesar lives in a different world. What if you could just train dogs in
an
hour?
He doesn't live in a different world. He lives in this world. He lives in California.
He's got a different life, Jorge.
Pretty sure he's dead, though. Just want to bring that up again.
Definitely a different world now.
Yeah.
He's probably alive. He might be one of our listeners. He might be hurting his feelings.
Maybe he took both those dogs with him.
So, Brenton, when I pick one of these worlds, am I automatically the main character?
No. I think that's an important distinction. You do not automatically have to be pushed into the main character role.
I would pick Sherlock, and I would be Sherlock, and you would be Watson.
Oh, nice.
So not only are you picking a role, but you're pulling me into this show with you.
Yeah. Or no, you would be the dog. And the one that I do experiments on all the time.
Jonathan, why don't you just pick Oprah?
Yeah, I'm gonna pick Oprah. I wanna be a part of Oprah.
You could be a powerful black woman for once. How sweet would that be?
For once. It's everything I've ever dreamed of.
Yeah.
We haven't heard Brenton's answer yet.
You know, this is actually, as I was driving home, thinking about what was the TV series I would want to be a part of, it's a really tough choice between two different worlds. One is a more darker version, The Walking Dead, thinking about being immersed into that, you know, and which sounds terrible, right? I mean, why would you want to be part of that?
Yeah.
But, you know, there's a simplicity, I think that's why the show's so popular, is there's a simplicity to it of, we know who the bad people are. We know who the good people are. There's none of this gray area. Things are a lot more black and white in life.
No. You don't know who the good people are and the bad people are. I mean, you know that zombies are definitely bad, but there's still dissension in the ranks. Like, you know. Yeah. You know that some people are... I haven't seen the show, but I assume people betray each other in the group and someone's evil. So it's the same as now. There's not a simplicity isn't there.
I don't want to put any spoilers out there for it. But I would say the group does evolve to those circumstances and how they deal with betrayal and how they learn to find trust. And it, there's a simplicity to it to me. But that being set aside, probably the one I would actually choose, though, that I could actually see myself being a part of for a lifetime would be the TV show Scrubs.
Oh, nice.
I feel like it fits my humor. I would love to be a part of it. I think that JD's character actually is one I would really enjoy being.
Okay.
And so,
who would be Turk?
You know, that's a great question. I don't know. I kind of feel like when you ask that, you're volunteering for that.
No, I'm not.
Is it Penny?
It could be Penny.
Penny could be Turk.
But that brings me to a slightly different note. I want you to know, Skylar, at some point I want to pay you back for the door that Penny destroyed.
Oh, no, it's okay. Somebody else punched some holes in it when they were drunk, so it's all good.
Did they?
Yeah, Jonathan, you don't remember that?
Okay. Pasta no pants.
Pasta no pants. Best nickname ever.
That's right. I made it to episode 8, too.
The only hole I've ever made in a wall was one time at my mom's house when I was really angry and I tripped and then I fell into the wall and my like foot went into the wall.
Aren't you lying?
And so my mom was like, "You kicked the wall." No.
Yeah. What about Forrest's house?
Oh, I did throw knives into Forrest's wall.
That's true. Yeah. So outside of that.
So outside of using his walls as target practice, I've only made one hole in a wall.
But yeah, don't worry about the door, Brenton. It just was doomed from the start.
Yeah.
Sure. So I guess that'd probably be my answer, Scrubs. Jonathan. Anyway, so that was my
answer. If you're wondering, our one or two viewers that are listening to us, the reason why we had a pause and someone mentioned Jonathan's name is he likes to randomly lift up his shirt and show us his nipples, which, yes, are slightly bigger than pepperonis. It's very disturbing.
We're not having a conversation about this, but they're perfectly normal size.
Yeah, for pepperonis, they're almost normal size.
Okay, we're done. We're done with this conversation.
I would say they're somewhere between Domino's or Pizza Hut.
Look,
yeah,
they're normal size. Those are normal nipple.
Oh, I've never seen so many zits on a nipple before. Pop them.
Next topic. This is too extreme.
Next topic would be me, which is, if you could pick an animal to be, what would you pick and why?
I'm sorry. First off, I forgot I was hosting, so I forgot to move the conversation along. I was waiting for you guys to do it.
No, that's okay.
If you're flashing your nipples, you can remember what you're doing.
I'm sorry. So say yours again, Craig. I wasn't listening.
Good. If you could pick an animal to be, what animal would you be and why?
I would be a fox.
Are these only non-fiction animals or fictional animals?
No, non-fiction. I am so scared of what fictional animal.
Oh, just out of curiosity, what non-fiction what fictional fiction animal would you pick, Corto?
I was going to go for the best of both worlds and get the flying monkey off of The Wizard of Oz.
Oh, my gosh. Because
I like the monkey, but I want to fly too, so.
You know dragons would count, right? You could pick to be a dragon.
I don't know.
I guess
that's true.
But I'm kind of surprised you didn't pick a gopher.
Well, I thought about a gopher. I think that gophers are neat, and I like them a lot. I don't think I would enjoy living in the ground all day, every day.
Also, you don't have to live the life of a gopher.
Think
you
about the
surprise.
You could
live a life like a human, but be a gopher.
You could wear a suit.
Work and be a youth minister.
Or I could be a gopher youth minister. Think about
sounds adorable.
would I be able to talk still, or would I just be a gopher trying to gesture? With my little gopher paws.
Sounds super cute.
One thought that crossed my mind is becoming Lily to bite Jonathan or betray him in some way, but that might be too far.
The level of closeness you'd have to endure with Jonathan.
Brenton, you don't understand.
I didn't think about the cost to me.
How much I cuddle with Lily on a regular basis.
Yeah.
Yeah, cuddle's an interesting choice of words for it.
Yeah.
maybe
a Sasquatch. No, that's fictional, sorry. Or is it, Jonathan?
It's up for debate.
Look, I don't know why.
Okay.
I thought that you two being
Jonathan,
on the podcast.
Let's all agree to be Sasquatches and let's go see Jonathan right now.
Yes. Agreed.
I have a deep fear of Sasquatch. I understand logically that he is not real, but when you stick me in the forest at night, I fear for my life.
Or if you drive past a tree and it's nighttime.
Yeah, also that. And just mostly being outside after the sun goes down scares me for fear of Sasquatch.
Do you have any problems with beef jerky?
This is a stupid question.
I'm just thinking of the commercials.
Yeah, I know what you're thinking of.
Okay.
That's why he's... That's why he's had it.
What about you, Skelly? You got an animal?
Yeah, I'd go with monkey since I can't pick a non-fictional one.
Sorry to restrict you in that way, so why monkey?
I just like the idea of being a monkey. They can climb. I mean, it's a pretty good scene in the Planet of the Apes movie, the new one. Was that... Not the latest one, but the one before that. The first of the new set. Mm. Was that Rise or was that just Planet of the Apes?
Oh, I forget which one's which. One is Dawn and one is Rise. I think it's Rise of the Planet of the Apes is the first one.
Yeah. That was a pretty awesome scene when he's climbing all the giant trees, though. That'd be good for that.
Yeah. You've always wanted to be a monkey. That's always been your choice.
Yep.
I feel
which
like...
Which is weird, because if you can climb as a human.
Yeah, so... but not that well. I don't have a tail to help me out.
Well, you could practice it, and a lot of those monkeys don't either. He's a chimpanzee. He doesn't have a tail.
I don't know. I just think it'd be tough.
Ooh, part of me wants to be a panda.
Oh, nice.
Those guys are so cool. I don't think that they have any anxiety ever. I think that
and you're just... important, because there's not very many of you left.
That's right. I would be the king. I would be Po.
You wouldn't be able to do Kung Fu. You understand that, right?
Can I be the Kung Fu panda?
No Kung Fu.
Oh. Well, we'll see. I might do Kung Fu.
So, we got a monkey, we got a panda. Brenton, do you really want to be Lily, or you want to change that?
No, I would absolutely like to change that. I would say, you know, just because I heard someone talking about this the other day, a golden eagle. Because you'd be this massive eagle and could fly around, and I just think flying would be a really amazing experience. And strike terror into small dogs and children as you fly over.
So would you eat a child if you were a gold eagle?
No, I mean, I don't think so. I mean, I don't know if I was an eagle and I was hungry, but I don't think I would.
Okay. All right.
What they do have guys, a lot of protein.
That's true.
What do you guys think the worst animal to be would be?
Snail.
Yeah.
Snail's pretty bad.
Snail's pretty bad. I think, part of me thinks manatee. Part of me thinks manatee
what?
Would be bad.
No, they have a great life.
They're so stupid. They're stupider than cows. They're called sea cows, but they are stupider than cows.
They have one fear, and it is propellers from motorboats. That's it.
They're so stupid and so slow that they see the propeller coming. First off, they don't even know to comprehend that the propeller is bad. So that's their first mistake. They just see, here comes the hurt twirl. And then they say, well, maybe it won't hurt this time. And they just watch it come. And then even if they could comprehend, which they cannot, they are too slow to move out of the way.
I would say speed, yes. I don't think they're that dumb. I think they understand pain and would avoid a boat. But how are they supposed to avoid a boat that can go 40 miles an hour when they go maybe two? Maybe.
They're so, they're so stupid. I can't believe people thought they were mermaids. That seems so unlikely to me. I don't know how you could see a manatee and think, pretty lady in the water.
Plus, most people like manatees. They're loved by many. So,
name one person you know who loves manatees.
Craig's in on that.
You know I have a poster of a manatee in my room, right?
Yeah, I made it for you.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I made that manatee poster for you.
Don't lie.
Yeah. Alright, so manatee... What do you guys think the worst animal would be?
Is Jonathan an animal?
No, that's a very specific human being.
Oh. I still say Jonathan. worst animal.
Yusuf, someone's going to call the bully hotline after this episode. Help me. Please, somebody help me.
Quality.
His name is Craig. Report him.
I would say probably a spider of some kind.
Ooh, yeah.
I wouldn't like to be a spider. No one likes you. You kill stuff.
Yeah.
You suck the blood out of stuff, to be exact. If you're a black widow, you mate and then either get eaten or eat your mate, which is pretty weird.
Hot.
So, yeah, Jonathan's about that.
I'm about that life.
For a little bit.
I'd always be the one who wins. I would eat my mate.
Yeah, sure you would.
So you'd be the female spider?
We've seen the girls you date. You wouldn't win a fight against any of them.
What is wrong? We get Brenton in the Skype call, and immediately your head goes to abuse Jonathan State. What is this? Brenton's not even doing it. He's trying to act mature.
Listen, he's just the puppet master. I'm the puppet, okay?
What?
Yep. He's pulling on the strings. He's making me do this. Yeah, see?
No one can see.
Yeah, for the audience, Jonathan showed his nipples again.
No, that's not what happened. This podcast is a nightmare.
So many ingrown hairs.
Craig,
oh my gosh.
I don't think you said what animal you would be.
I didn't. Jonathan didn't let me say what animal. He interrupted me.
You've been talking about John. You said Jonathan.
That's the worst animal. That's not the one I
He didn't say is one he would be originally.
What animal would you be? I'm sorry.
Is it a manatee?
No. For some reason, I think a gorilla, because that way all the socially unacceptable stuff I do as a human, I could then do as a gorilla and be okay.
I don't think that's true.
I think it's fine.
I think the other gorillas would hate it if you farted as much as you do in real life.
Yeah, I don't know if they'd hate it. They might make me the king.
Hey, Gorilla Craig, maybe you should stop eating so much sugar alcohol if this is going to be what happens.
Poor Skyler has to do this podcast with me. He knows exactly what you're talking about.
Good time, sugar alcohol. So you'd be a gorilla because you think that your behavior would be considered more
appropriate. Oh, by the way, I got to tell you this. So we had two on our show last week, and I told her about our experience when we went to see Tangled together.
Yeah. That's good.
To clarify for the audience, it was three grown men who went to see Tangled, I believe, at midnight. Did we see it at midnight?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we did.
And it was three grown men, a slumber party of very young girls, and then one creepy guy who was either with the teenage girls or watching them. Either way, it was very creepy. And I farted through majority of the movie. It was very brutal. Constant farts. I don't remember any of it because I was farting over the sound. So
I remember laughing hysterically because I feel like you purposely farted in inappropriate moments. Like when they were about to kiss, the loudest farts in the world came out of your bottom hole.
Oh, so this wasn't like a subtle thing. This was just very overt.
It was very overt.
These are very loud. I had my feet propped up on the chair so I could really get that echo going instead of sending it into the seat. Yeah.
That's right.
You got to think about these things. But anyway. I think gorilla, for some reason, that's what comes to me. Although they're not my favorite animals, that's just what I would want to be.
Yeah, so you could fart and be okay.
Exactly.
Good answer. All right, next topic. Jorge, Skyler, your topic?
All right, my topic this week is if you had to say what one group of people you're most inclined to want to help is, what group of people would that be? So examples would be like whether you're most inclined to go do mission work in a foreign country or whether you'd be more inclined to help orphans or old people, just some specific group of people that you just feel most inclined to help. Who would they be?
I mean, the easy answer for me is teenagers. That's what I feel. That's who I feel called to help, which is why I'm a youth minister. Part of me, my gut says that won't be the case forever. I think one of the reasons why I gravitate towards teenagers right now is I don't feel as if I have the wisdom or the know-how to minister to people older than teenagers. Like, if I were to sit down in a room with adults talking about adult problems, I wouldn't know. I would be able to listen to them, but I wouldn't be able to give them any advice or know anything about their problems or be able to relate to their problems, so... I do think that right now I gravitate more towards teenagers just because that's the group that I do feel called to, first off, and second off, I feel I have the know-how and ability to minister to. So that's my group is teenagers.
That's a good call.
I think the one that sticks out to me is primarily kind of a similar age, but what it's more become for me is focusing on trauma victims. So people that have experienced some type of trauma and usually found some type of addictive behavior. And a lot of that just goes back to my own family of origin and working through a lot of my stuff. And I definitely love the idea of bringing in, and not really even seeing it as something totally different, but a ministry in that of helping guys connect with their faith as well. But I feel a lot of passion about trying to help families through a lot of their issues.
Do you feel like that's where you'll always be called, or do you feel like that's just the current place for you?
You know, there's, I've definitely experienced times where I've been doing some type of work and I felt like I was counting down the days till I got out of that. There was this one youth group with a kid named Jonathan. no, I'm just kidding. But no, there were times when I really did feel like, you know, I'm glad I'm helping somebody, but I don't know if I could do this for the long run. There's a certain piece about this that I really enjoy. So I don't know if I'll do it forever, but I could see myself doing this for the foreseeable future. I really do enjoy it, even when it gets fairly stressful.
But you feel as if there's a piece in this that you didn't find in ministry.
I mean, that's such a hard comparison. I don't know if I would exclude ministry like that, because I could definitely see myself at some point doing that again. It's just, I think right now in this stage of life, it's what I feel more prepared to do, whereas in some ways I almost wouldn't feel as prepared for the ministry side.
Yeah.
Which may sound kind of backwards or weird, but I'd feel more called to or prepared to doing the family stuff right now.
Yeah.
That's fair. That's awesome. I don't think any of us would be in a position to be able to help anybody that like that, so it's good that there are people who can do that type of work and stuff.
Yes. I'm sorry, I was nodding my head and shaking my head, but I forgot that people cannot hear my nodding and shaking.
Oh, yes, I should think of that too. I appreciate that, Skylar.
Yes.
Yeah.
Feel affirmed.
What do you have, Craig?
I would have to say teenagers, but my view is a little different than Jonathan's. I feel like I connect with teens because they think at a simpler level, honestly, and that's how I've always been. I don't mind hearing something in a complicated way, but in my head I'm going to break it down to make it simple. And if I can help teens understand something that is normally complicated and make them be able to understand it, then great. But also, I know that high school was like just a not even necessarily high school, but high school and middle school was just not a very good time for me in a lot of ways. A lot of trouble with family, just a lot of things that happen when you're a teenager. I'm not saying that like mine was worse than anyone else, but it's just not an easy time. And so if I can help them understand that God loves them and God wants to lift them up through these struggles, and also that I'm there and that I'm supposed to show them love and so they can feel wanted and valued, then great.
Yeah.
That's kind of the big picture. I know that's really vague, but as far as helping teens, that's just kind of my thought.
No, I think that makes sense. So it sounds like you want them to feel comforted in a time where you didn't necessarily feel comforted. And also, you feel as if one of your skills is to break down complicated messages into simple messages, which is really valuable. I don't always feel very good at that. So can you give an example of a time when you feel like you've been able to break something complicated down into something more simple?
I don't know if I can remember the scenario. I can remember a bunch of kids that, for example, there's a senior in our youth group who's just trying to understand baptism. Uh-huh. And he watched Phil Brookman's lesson on it, which was great, but he had a lot of questions. And so I tried to break it down as best I could to help him understand on a what are the words I'm trying to say? Just bring it down to his level of knowledge as far as the Bible. Not that he was dumb in any way, but, you know, the knowledge that people have for the Bible varies a ton. And, well, he's from a different country. He wasn't full of it. He didn't grow up in a church, so this was all new to him. So, again, it was just me trying to explain the best I could when he didn't have much background in it. So, but on like a... Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, one thing that stuck out to me about it was, like, at Capstone, we have two different types of staff. There are therapists, and then there are day staff and night staff who are responsible for just building relationship with the guys and making day sure staff. They're where they need to be.
Oh, my.
Sorry.
You know, Jonathan, the adults are trying to talk.
My mistake.
Just kidding. But the thing that has always stuck out to me about it is, when the guys are getting ready to graduate, like, a lot of times I'll ask them, what are some of the things that meant the most to you are here, or were most helpful? And they say the relationships that they formed with the day staff or night staff, because they were the ones that, like, yes, therapy was helpful, and it was like we broke through some really complicated stuff, but there's, like, an untold amount of hours that these staff spend with them, whether it's playing ping pong, just talking with them, talking about maybe a rough session they had or a phone call they had or just stuff like that, and just breaking down and just practicing relationship with them. And, like, you know, sometimes maybe to somebody just passing by, the conversation sounds really simple, but what it's doing is just really profound, because it makes a huge impact on these guys. So I don't know, I appreciate that, Craig, because it is a undervalued form of ministry sometimes. That the ones that are not in the spotlight type of thing, the one that's not on the main stage speaking or something.
Yeah, that's a really good point. That's very true.
Craig and I were talking about that earlier tonight, about how important those interactions are between people and how we undervalue them sometimes, but how they make such a huge difference. And I think that's really neat. And it's crazy to think that some people don't know that they'd be missed if they just disappeared, like no one would notice they were gone. Mm-hmm. So I think that's really important that somebody would ask them, like, hey, where were you yesterday? I didn't see you.
Mm-hmm.
So
to them, what you're saying, to them just to be noticed is really important.
Yeah, that it matters that they're there, that yeah. somebody's life will be affected by them not being there.
Yeah, I think that's really true.
I think on a more narrowed down scope of ways that I'd want to help is, at some point when I have kids I'd like to adopt, not that it went so great for my parents, but I do have a brother and sister that are both older than me and adopted, and even though childhood wasn't always smooth, to say the least, I wouldn't change the fact that they're my brother and sister, nor would I change the fact that my parents cared enough for children that didn't have parents in their lives. So something about that just kind of speaks out to me. Maybe not, I don't have, like, a deep calling to go to an orphanage and help out, but I would like to adopt.
Yeah.
So that's one other thing.
Jorge, what's your answer?
I've tried a lot of different areas out with helping people, but I think one that I haven't done much of that I'd like to do a little more is maybe helping out older people. With Craig and I moved into a house where there was an older lady who had lived there before us, and it was just so run down, and we didn't even understand how she was really living there. And I thought that was really sad, and I thought it'd be cool to have some sort of ministry to help people out so they don't end up in that situation.
Yeah, it was amazing. Since I've come to Riverwalk, there's our custodian at Riverwalk. I don't think that's his title. I think that he's kind of the maintenance guy is what he would prefer to be called. But the maintenance guy at Riverwalk, the elders have given him free rein to go off and do mission work as much as he needs to do, because he is so passionate about it. And he gets really angry at other people because he spends all of his waking time helping people. Like, that's all he does. And he gets so mad that other people don't do it. But the people he helps the most are senior citizens, specifically through senior services. And it's just going on a couple trips with him to help people, it's amazing how many old people there are who don't have anyone in their lives to take care of them.
Yeah.
There's no one to help them. So yeah, I agree. I think that would be a good ministry to be a part of. I don't feel like I've done that as of yet. Part of me understands that it would be a good ministry to be a part of. The other part of me gets really frustrated with old people because and this isn't a problem with them. I'll be this way too someday, but this is just me being impatient. I get impatient and annoyed at their at how slow they speak and how slow they get to points. And also, just sometimes I feel that the way that they communicate to me is not much, not as much trying to communicate any specific point, but just trying to get my attention and be in relationship because they're so hungry for a relationship, which I guess I don't enjoy interacting with people who are so starved for relationship as much as I do interacting with people who have relationship.
Yeah, makes sense.
So, yeah, I get frustrated with old people, but I do think that that's a valuable ministry to be a part of.
Sure. Cool, guys.
All right. My topic is the last one.
And guys, I'm sorry to interrupt. I actually just got a call from work asking if I could call in and talk with a family. So I feel terrible about this, but I may have to check out a little bit early
on our podcast.
Oh, Brenton.
I know.
You're good.
I am dear. Breaking the rules on my first time to even be a guest.
All right. Well, we're going to pause while you leave, and then we're going to... Sorry about that. Sometimes when I'm about to pause the podcast, I hang up. And by sometimes, I mean all the time, which caused that last awkward stumble. But we paused for a second so that Brenton could leave. And now we are back for our last topic, which is my topic tonight. My topic is... I was thinking about Star Wars today on account of the new trailer coming out. First off, before we get to my topic, can we talk about how good that trailer was? That trailer was so good. Craig, you're not a big Star Wars fan.
I didn't see Jar Jar Binks, so in other words, I didn't see anything of interest.
Okay. I embarrassingly enough teared up at the end of the trailer because of Han and Chewie. It was so good. I thought he looked good. I thought he looked better. Harrison Ford looked better than he did in Indiana Jones, at least.
I'll give you that.
In the newer Indiana Jones, yeah. I thought he looked really good as Han. And I don't know what else it was about the trailer that got to me. I guess it was the fact that the tone seemed more in line with the original trilogy.
Yeah.
It certainly had it has the same kind of, even though there were serious things going on, it felt as if it was fun and lighthearted and cool. It was actually cool again instead of like the newer ones where you felt embarrassed to watch.
What about the pod racers?
I don't know. In the trailer, it looked... Okay, this is getting pretty nerdy, but Daisy Ridley's character, which is the girl in the trailer, it looks as if her little speeder that she's on looks as if it could be one of the engines from a pod racer. So think back to Sebulba. Sebulba! He had those big engines. Her little bike thing that she's on, her little hover bike, looks like it could be just one of those engines with a seat on top of it.
Could be.
That seems dangerous.
It does seem dangerous. But anyway, so there could be pod racers. But today we learned that the desert planet that you see in the movie is not Tatooine. It's another desert planet called Jack something. I don't know what it's called. I feel like it's Jakuk or something, but that doesn't sound like a real name. But anyway, I just thought that the whole trailer looked awesome, and this is probably the most excited for a movie I've been since, I don't know. What was the most excited about a movie I've ever been?
I don't know. Kung Fu Panda 2?
No. Maybe.
But the Lord of the Rings movies you were pretty excited about.
Oh, yeah? Yeah.
That was when we were in middle school, though. That was, like, my first date. I went to the last Lord of the Rings movie.
The third one?
The third Lord of the Rings movie was my first date in seventh grade with Michelle Nunez.
I thought we knew each other then.
No, we did the Harry Potter movies and we did The Hobbit.
We did the last Star Wars movie together. Or we didn't see it together, but that was when we met because I remember asking you guys about the third Star Wars movie. So, anyway, you guys don't seem that excited, though. Are you guys not excited about Star Wars?
I'm very excited, but I try not to get my hopes up too much because it is such a... I grew up rewatching the first three movies over and over again. And yeah. So it's just kind of, you wait and you're hopeful, but you can't be like, oh, this is going to be the best thing ever. I don't know why. For me, I just can't sign up all the way.
After seeing what I've seen in this trailer, I feel confident in signing up for This is the Best Thing Ever. I feel as if we have seen enough for them to tell us we have done well this time. It's going to be okay. I promise we didn't make the prequels again. This is going to be good stuff. So I'm excited. I'm pumped. I mean, did you see Luke's arm in there? It looks terrifying.
It's pretty good. It looked a little small.
How come they didn't show Luke, though?
I don't know.
We'll find out.
We will find out. The most intriguing thing about the trailer, though, is the at one point, you know, in the trailer when Luke is doing the voiceover of "My father has it, my sister has it, and you have it," it doesn't show who that lightsaber is being given to, but that lightsaber is Anakin's lightsaber and Luke's lightsaber at the beginning of New Hope. And then if you remember, he loses the lightsaber on Bespin when Darth Vader cuts off his hand. And then he has to go and make a new one for Return of the Jedi. So we haven't seen that lightsaber since Return of the Jedi, so somebody's found it and is giving it to someone else.
Nice.
Pretty exciting.
It's a pretty good catch.
Okay, this is my question before we get to my topic. Sorry, this is becoming longer than I thought, but I'm nerding out right now. Do you guys think that in this movie, based on that voiceover from the trailer, that Princess Leia will be able to use the Force?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
You think so?
Yeah, I mean, he clearly stated it.
Mm-hmm.
But he said that in Return of the Jedi, and she couldn't.
Well, she had the power. She just hadn't accessed them yet.
Mm.
She may be put to a point where she has to learn how to use them.
I don't think she'll be able to use the Force. I don't think that's a Princess Leia thing.
I think she will.
Yeah.
I think she can and won't.
You think that she can, but she'll choose not to?
Yeah. I don't think they're going to find a use for it in this next movie. That's all.
Okay. All right. So maybe that's part of the arc of the next three movies, is her deciding to use the Force.
No.
Could be. I think she won't get to play a huge role in it.
That's what I'm thinking. I don't think she's going to have a big part in it either.
But we'll see.
Okay. My topic, sorry, I was texting somebody back. Okay, we'll talk more about Star Wars when more stuff comes out, because I'm pretty ready to nerd out. We could spend the whole podcast talking about this trailer if you guys were more inclined to be a part of that conversation.
Sorry.
My question has to do with Star Wars, because I was thinking about how George Lucas went back to the old trilogy and changed stuff. If you remember when we were children, the reason we grew up on the old trilogy is because when we were growing up, they came out with the digital versions in theaters, and that's how I was introduced to them in theaters when George Lucas redid them. And if you remember, he added like the sand creatures to Tatooine, and they had redone the spaceships and some other stuff, and so he had added quite a bit. Well, since then, he's infamously gone back and added more. So, for instance, at the end of Return of the Jedi, he changes out old Anakin Skywalker, Darth Vader, for Hayden Christensen, young Anakin. And I don't really know what other things he's changed, but I know other people are very angry about it, from what I understand. So George Lucas had this weird opportunity that he took to be able to almost go back in time and change something that he wanted to be different. So my question for you all is this. If you could go back in time in your own lives and change something so that it would be different, but you could only pick one thing, what would you change?
It's a tough question. I was talking with Craig about this because you gave it to us earlier, and it's like, well, we have our things that we definitely regret the most, but it's hard to say what our lives would look like without those events in them. Who we would have become without having that happen.
Hmm. Yeah. I agree with that. So you're worried that if you were to go back and change something, it would alter who you are now, and you wouldn't want that.
Yeah, I mean, part of me thinks it'd be worth it, and that the outcome would be much better anyways, and it'd be close to the same, but it's hard to say.
Yeah.
Do you have an example for us of one that you would do?
Oh, yeah. I thought of that before as well, the altering thing. My answer to that is I do think that it's possible to go back and change things and still be the same person that you are. I think that, yeah, you would be like slightly different, but for the most part, I don't think that changing one or two things would alter who you are as a person. And I know that movies have something different to say about that with the butterfly effect.
Yeah.
But those are movies. Those are meant to tell a narrative, and so sometimes they use that as a means to tell the narrative they're wanting to tell. So I don't know if that's necessarily correct. My answer is just something. Sometimes we tell embarrassing stories about ourselves because they're funny now. For instance, Craig tells his poop stories to all of his teenagers because he thinks those are funny, kind of. So he's ashamed of them and embarrassed, but at the same time, he thinks they're funny. Just like me with my dating stories and how horrible they are. And I tell them, even though they're embarrassing, they're really funny, so I tell them. But there's things that I've done that are shameful and embarrassing that I don't think are funny and I don't like to tell. Like, for instance, one time at a retreat, I thought I was being super funny, and Kevin asked me to lead a song, and I never led a song before. And I was like, all right. So I started leading Come Sail Away. Like, I'm sailing away. And so I started leading that song, and everyone's standing in the circle looking at me like I'm a crazy person. And then finally everyone laughs. But I keep going. So everyone laughs, and then I keep going, and it's really awkward. And finally, I think it was Josiah just shook his head in embarrassment for me and started leading a song over me. Oh, man. So shameful. So embarrassing. And that's something that's funny maybe to other people to hear about me, but thinking back to that moment, I still cringe and still get embarrassed. So I don't think changing that moment would make me different than I am now. I still do stupid stuff all the time, even though I've had that experience. I don't think that taught me a lesson at all. So I would change that, though. I don't want that as a memory. I would willingly have that go away.
That's fair. It's a good example.
Yeah. What about you?
Mine would definitely be going too far with one of my exes. Mm. So...
yeah,
I'd say that would definitely be one that I would remove for sure. Okay. It carries a lot of guilt, and it'd be nice to not have that, even though I know that my girlfriend now forgives me for it and everything. It just would be nice to not have that memory like you're talking about. I'd be okay without it.
Yeah. Yeah. So you would prefer to have that not have happened. You don't feel as if that's integral to who you are, that experience learning.
I feel like it shocked me a lot and it changed me, but I don't know. There's still enough of me that wishes that it was gone.
Okay. Okay. That's fair. That's a good answer.
I agree. I think it's a very good answer. For me, I would have to say, man, there's a lot. Because there's so many things that I wish I had cared about more in the past, but...
yeah, I got you there.
Probably most importantly... we all have a friend that ended up murdering someone, but he took a dark path on the way there, and I wish that I had been more outreaching to him. Because you have to fall a lot to get there, which means that we probably had some chances to pick him up and help. Now, obviously, he's still a person. He makes his own decisions. But I know as far as my effort, because of my comfort level with him, was non-existent.
Yeah.
It basically just disappeared. Mm-hmm. And I just think back sometimes and think, if we reached out to this friend, not only would he not be in prison, but also another man would be alive today. More than likely. I'm not saying that I get. Yeah, it's safe to say that the other man would be alive.
Yeah.
So...
so do you feel guilty about that a lot, Craig? I hadn't heard you say that before.
No. It used to bother me when it first happened.
Mm-hmm.
But I understand where my fear came from. Yeah. And I know that I don't treat people that same way. So I guess in the sense of if it meant that I wouldn't remember how to treat people, yeah. I don't know if I'd take it back or not. Mm-hmm.
But so if you're saying that now you feel like because of that experience, you know to reach out to people who are going down dark paths.
Yeah, I learned a lesson about the effort I need to put in when it comes to people that seem to be straying into the dark. But the event that happened from it, I wish I could take that back, but also I wish that I could have been more involved in his life in hopes to be a positive influence.
Yeah.
So.
That makes sense. That's a good one, too. Man, just hearing you say that, I hadn't thought about this before, but sometimes I do think of you all as family and extensions of myself in a way. And like collectively as a family, all three of us have experienced so much stuff together. We've experienced friends that have gone down all kinds of different paths. Like, you guys have had your friend who killed somebody. We've had a friend who turned out to be gay for the 5 years we were friends with him. We've had child molesters live with us. Not child molesters, somebody who was accused of
sexual offenders
live with us, and our house has been on the website. I mean, we've had lots of stuff happen in our 25 or 24 years. 24, 25 years. Mostly 25.
One thing that we can look at and say we're blessed of, though, is it's people around us. We've actually made it out pretty good. We've seen a lot of dark stuff, but as far as our lives, I feel like we've been pretty blessed in that sense.
Yeah, I do too. I think part of that does have to do with the fact that we continue to stay close and continue to allow each other to be the biggest influences in each other's lives more than the other people that we come in contact with.
Yeah. I feel like having somebody to go to whenever you're dealing with something, even if it's not for something important, just being able to vent to somebody about something is really big.
Well, Skyler's got Catherine now, but sometimes we pull him back into our triangle.
That's true. But even when he gets married, he'll have to take a pause on that honeymoon to do the podcast Thursday night.
Oh man, the honeymoon! Are you gonna leave Thursday night? So the first night you guys are married, you're gonna have to do the podcast.
Yes, I think that sounds like the best plan.
Yeah,
the best possible plan to start the marriage off right
with a podcast.
Yeah, this is important, but I have prior commitments. I'm gonna have to meet back with you in a little bit.
I mean, technically, we started the podcast before you guys got married, so priorities.
Yeah, Jorge, good point. Craig makes a good point.
Now, also, the good news is, if we're there on your honeymoon night, we can try to break down some stuff for you guys.
I like this idea. We could go on the honeymoon and do the podcast in person together.
I know that we're a family and we experience a lot of things through each other, but I'd prefer if we didn't share that as a family experience.
Well, how about we vote on it?
Yeah, I agree. We'll vote.
See, I say that knowing that I have majority on my side. So.
And Catherine gets half a vote because she's a woman.
Oh, good.
So we're counting her. That's good news.
That
she's
is
not a zero.
I didn't want to leave her out because she's kind of an extension of you.
A little bit.
But that means as an extension of you, you're only getting 0.5 as well. Mm. So she gets 0.5, you get 0.5.
Yeah, I don't... Yeah, okay. Sure, that works. So you still only get one vote.
Yeah.
She's going to vote with us for sure.
I guess I don't have to feel as alone on this vote.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, that's true. Okay, well, this has been a good podcast. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed having Brenton on. Next week, potentially, we will have another guest. Potentially not. We'll see. But... this has been Creek Hamsters podcast number 8.
That's correct.
Yep.
Yeah.
I feel like we're getting more and more comfortable each time we do this.
Yeah, buddy.
Why'd you wink at me when you said that?
I didn't mean to. It was just a twitch.
Oh, he's showing his nipple again. Oh, gosh.
Okay.
Everyone close your eyes.
And scene.